You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. I'm still up from my COVID vaccine experience. I'm having trouble falling back to sleep. So I figured, why not get caught up in my Locked On MLB? Spend it with you, my listeners. What I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be previewing the games that are starting on today, which is the 14th day of April, 2021. We're going to be looking at a couple of trends for some of the starting pitchers and one other big starting pitcher who is off to a horrific start and what that means for the team he plays for and for relying on big-name starters. And also, we say happy birthday to one of the greatest starters of all time, a big-time birthday bash for the World Series champion Atlanta Braves, and I make the statement I always make about Pete Rose, and I'm going to do it again today. This show is available on the Odyssey app for your podcast. Wherever you get your podcast, you can listen to us when you're staying at home, as we're going to beat this thing. Let's just stay smart. But please tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB or check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Fantasy Baseball with Scott Cullen. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On MLB Pods. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. So let's take a quick look around at some of the big games that are going to be playing this afternoon and this evening, or here in California, the morning. It's the best. It's the best. By the way, just pulling back the curtain a little bit, your pal Sully is getting very, very close to finishing my teaching credential, which means I can work full-time as a special education teacher, and I'm getting a lot of emails saying, hey, come teach in Hawaii. Now, Hawaii, as a baseball fan, would be kind of amazing because World Series games start at 2 in the afternoon. Think about that. The World Series at 2 in the afternoon? I'm into that. I am. But we got games starting at 10 a.m. here, and that is New York versus Toronto in Dunedin, of course. Dunedin, Florida. People in Dunedin, I hope you show up there because, or as many can show up there as possible because you got yourself some big league ball playing there. We have Corey Kluber versus Ross Stripling, and we get back to that matchup a little bit because there is, lack of a better word, a theme for some of the pitchers that are going on today. The Nationals got absolutely housed. Absolutely slaughtered. They were absolutely Fernando Vina to Albert Bell's forearm the other day. And they're up against the Cardinals again. Joe Ross is pitching for Washington. Adam Wainwright is pitching for St. Louis. I'll get back to that matchup in a second. But the Nats, they're off to a horrible start. They're 2-6. And, of course, the start of their season was delayed because of COVID reasons. But still, this is a team that should be better than that. They've got some good pitchers, and they've got some tremendous hitters. And they are stumbling and bumbling out of the gate and just look bad. Bad, bad, bad. Corbin Burns is pitching for the Brewers. He has a 0.73 ERA, naturally no wins. Jake Arrieta, who will come back to him in a little bit, has returned to the Cubs this year and has pitched quite well so far in his first few starts. The Cubs and the Brewers are, there's a game in between them. Cubs are 5-6. Brewers are 6-5. Again, it's way too early. But these games, if the Cubs want to not have a year where they just have a bargain basement sale, they should start to win more games. If they get off to a really bad start, you're going to see everything that is not nailed down to be traded off, including Jake Arrieta. The fact that Jake Arrieta is off to a good start is, well, let me put it this way. It's a sign that some of the teams that could use a really good starting pitcher might be calling up the Chicago Cubs and say, hey, What do you say? What do you say about Kyle Hendricks? What do you say about Jake Arrieta? It would not surprise me if I see Jake Arrieta pitching for an American League contender sometime in the course of this year if he continues to pitch well, as he has in his first few starts. Another game going on. The Angels and the Royals played a weird, weird game on Tuesday evening, ending with the bases loaded and a potential wild pitch and the runner getting caught up and Salvador Perez nailing him at third. I think it was Fletcher. I don't 100% remember. The Angels are off to a wonderful start, despite the loss last night. And Griffin Canning is pitching. And Brad Keller is going for Kansas City. We'll see how that goes in the morning game. The school that I'm working at right now, by the way, the teacher that I work with is a huge Angels fan, so I know she'll be checking the score in the middle of the game. The hottest team in baseball used to be the coldest team in baseball. The Red Sox suddenly can't be beat. This is actually one of the most intriguing games because Nathan Eovaldi has come out of the gate pitching amazingly well. And Kenta Maeda, who was a Cy Young contender last year, has pitched quite well. Thank you very much. And this could be one of the most intriguing games going on Wednesday. Watch it be a 15-14 massacre. Another red-hot team, and I know my dad, wherever he is, he's in heaven. If there's a heaven, and my dad's not there, they should just shut it down. The Giants are 7-4. They won again in a wild game, and Johnny Cueto is pitching. You know, Johnny Cueto is the kind of pitcher who, again, would be ideal to put on the trade market if the Giants are going to be trading. But why trade when they're off to a terrific start and playing like a legit wildcard contender? The Reds, who got off the spectacular start, has found some bumps in the road in the series against Arizona and now the loss to San Francisco last night. They're going to go for it, try to see what they can make. By the way, the Red Sox, I forgot, were playing a doubleheader. I forgot it was a doubleheader because they postponed one of the games because of the potential unrest that was going to happen in Minneapolis. So Eduardo Rodriguez, feel-good story of the year, back from COVID, is going up against Jose Barrios, potential Cy Young Award winner for the Twins. So we'll see what happens. If the Red Sox win both of those games and up themselves to 9-3, then there might be something special here. We know there's something special going on in San Diego. I'll get to that game in a little bit because I think it's time for a prediction. Mariners, Orioles, my Mariners split this series, this doubleheader against Baltimore the other day. Justin Dunn's going for Seattle. Matt Harvey's going for Baltimore. Going to get to that in a second. A lot of things we're going to get in the next segment. Michael Fulmer, who so many people thought was going to be a real legit ace, has never really quite become that. Pitched well the other day, actually had a relief. He's going for the Tigers against the Astros. Hinch knows what to do against the Astros. And the Astros, who started the season absolutely on fire, are in danger of falling to .500 against Detroit, no less. Lance McCullers Jr., who's pitched well so far, is going to try to turn the tide for Houston. Phillies Mets are always interesting. David Peterson's pitching for the Mets. Not sure what to make of him. Zach Wheeler, former Met, is going to pitch for Philadelphia and see what they can do there. Tampa Bay has no idea who's starting. I may be starting for all I know. But Arihara is pitching for Texas. The Rangers beat the Rays. All the teams not named the Red Sox in the AL East are currently 5-6. The Marlins had their way with the Braves, and the Braves were only 4-7. The Braves would not look that great. Nick Niedert, name I've never said out loud until just now, is going up against World Series hero from 2017, Charlie Morton, and the Braves, who I thought were heads and shoulders the best team in the NL East, a very competitive division, have stumbled out of the gate a little bit. The Indians can pitch. They can pitch like nobody else. Zach Plesac is pitching, seeing what he can do after Shane Bieber went 9 shutout innings yesterday in the victory against Chicago. Carlos Rondon has pitched well so far. Should be another solid pitching matchup. And John Gray versus Dustin May. Teams don't usually have pitching matchups that rhyme, but that is indeed happening right down the street from me in Chavez Ravine. The Dodgers are looking to become the first team with double-digit victories. If Dustin May wins, they'll go 10 and 2. I still can't believe the Red Sox dumped Mookie Betts to Los Angeles and didn't even get Dustin May back in the trade. But the real game to take a look at takes place at 3:35 p.m. Pacific time. That's 6:35 p.m. East Coast time. Tyler Anderson's pitching for the Pittsburgh Pirates, and Joe Musgrove, who has not let up a run and didn't let up a hit his last game, he is going to pitch his first game since throwing the no-hitter, the first no-hitter in the history of the San Diego Padres. And I'm going to make a brand new prediction right now. I predict that today, 14th day of April, 2021, Joe Musgrove will become the first pitcher since Johnny Vandermeer to throw a no-hitter in back-to-back starts. Put it down. I wasn't wrong the last time. What are the chances I'm wrong now? And do you know what? If he does get that, if he does get a no-hitter in back-to-back starts, he deserves a prize, and I can't think of a better prize than a Built Bar. They've got all these great amazing flavors, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, mint brownie. I love the raspberry. There's double chocolate, orange, toffee, almond. I can't wrap my head about how many flavors that they had. They had a tournament, an NCAA Final Four tournament full of flavors there. And everyone is covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft, they're easy to chew. But they're great if you're a health-conscious person trying to lose or maintain weight or indulge in a delicious treat. Let's take the peanut butter one. Peanut butter and chocolate, 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, 5 grams net carbs. Come on, you can work that off doing a podcast. Get a free cooler with purchase while supplies last. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON15 to get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON15 to get 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Hey, let's talk about Locked On Today. Get all your sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. I was going over some of those starting pitchers, and you notice that there were pitchers like Corey Kluber, Adam Wainwright, and I mentioned Johnny Cueto and Jake Arrieta, who are off the good starts, but you also had Matt Harvey. It's amazing how fast a ace starting pitcher can fold up a tent and go from being just a super elite pitcher to suddenly being yesterday's news. I mean, let's take someone like, you know, like Felix Hernandez. And Felix Hernandez, who hasn't pitched since 2019, I don't think he locked on with a team. I think he was given like a minor league invitation or something like that. No, he tried to hook on with the Orioles. He didn't get on the staff. He didn't get on the staff with a freaking Baltimore Orioles. Okay? Do you understand how hard that is to not make it on the Orioles? I got to try out for the Orioles. But as recently as 2015, he was a Cy Young. He was getting votes for the Cy Young Award. As recently as 2016, he was still putting up a solid season. And then 2017, it got hurt. 2018, pitched a full season, but was terrible. 2019 was even worse. And that's it. It just fell off a cliff. Now, I still think he's had an incredible career. In fact, I think he's made an interesting Hall of Fame candidacy. But, you know, 29 years old, all-star, 18-game winner, Cy Young top 10 finish at age 29. And then by age 31, he's done. That's how fast some of these ace pitchers can fall off a cliff. Speaking of Cliff, remember Cliff Lee? Year in and year out. Cliff Lee, again, interesting Hall of Fame candidacy. In 2013, he was really one of the best pitchers in baseball. Another Cy Young contending season. And, you know, put up a lot of numbers that were a hell of a lot better than his stats would indicate. That was in, what year was it? In 2013, he was had the second highest WAR. If you're into WAR, he had the second highest WAR of any pitcher in the National League in 2013. Another top 10 Cy Young finish. 2014 had an injury-filled season, and then that's it. Gone. Bye. Done. Remember how fast Tim Lincecum fell off a cliff? And so it's when you look at pitchers, it's incredible how sometimes someone who looks like that can't miss, oh my God, they are the pitcher that we can totally rely on, how fast the rug can be pulled from them. One of the worst pitchers of, when you take a look at the numbers from the truncated 2020 season and the first few weeks of this season, in terms of the most runs allowed, the most hits allowed, all these things allowed, is Madison freaking Bumgarner, whose ERA in his 12 Arizona starts is over 7. Now, again, it was only 9 starts with Arizona, but out of the gate, he has been not disappointing. He's been horrific. This is the same guy who was money in the bank in October. And there was, you know, look at, you take a look at, I don't really pay attention to the win total, because in 2019, when he went, he was only 99, he still had a really good year. And he still gave the Giants 207 2/3 innings pitched. He still struck out 203 batters. He still only walked 43. He had a pretty good ERA at age 29. And then by age 30, he's done. I mean, he is currently pitching at a level where you're like going, do we have to designate this guy for assignment? You know, he's got 3 more years left on this contract. And now look, at I don't begrudge anyone for having a contract, but this may be the sort of pitcher that you go like, do they have to eat his contract and send him elsewhere? The Corey Kluber, I mean, I've mentioned him a few times. In 2018, he was 3rd in the Cy Young Award vote, most innings pitched in the American League. And this was after winning 2 Cy Young Awards in 4 years. And then after that, he's pitched a grand total of 10 games and has looked bad, really bad. And then you have Adam Wainwright is going, and many, many years of being a terrific pitcher has been, you know, he has not looked good so far this year. And you can have someone who looks really great and then just sort of flames out instantly, like Matt Harvey, who looked like he was going to be the great, well, he was like Lincecum. He was going to be the great hope of New York sports fans. It's incredible how you have a big-time ace, how fast it can turn. And some of the pitchers going today are walking proof of that. That you look and say, man, I thought we were getting an ace. I thought this was someone who might be putting together a Hall of Fame career. And I'm going to mention someone who is who kind of became a standard in many ways. But when you look and you see someone like a, you know, when you look and you see someone, you know, like when the Yankees made the big signing and picked up Gerrit Cole, and he's so far still pitching completely at that level. That value you have when you have someone who pitches like that, who gives the bullpen the day off and everything, that is worth every penny that he gets. It drives me crazy when I hear things like, well, you know, why would you pay that much money? How valuable is someone when they're only playing, what, 30 games out of 162? I scratch my head when I hear that, because you could just as easily say, why pay that money for someone who's only going to have, what, 4 at-bats during the game, 4 plate appearances. When you look at someone like Gerrit Cole, who winds up, like, in several years will face 800 batters in 2019, 849 batters in 2017. That's more than a all-star MVP caliber gets plate appearances. So when you have someone who is facing that many batters, can change the course of the game, give the bullpen a night off, their value is through the roof. And there are years where I believe a starting pitcher is the most valuable player. Pedro Martinez was certainly the most valuable player in 1999. I believe Clayton Kershaw was the most valuable player in 2014. And yeah, they only pitched in 30-some-odd games during the year. They also faced nearly 1,000 batters and had an effect before and after the game. So, ace pitchers are incredible, but man, they can flame out big time. And a bunch of the pitchers who are pitching today are exactly that. The pitchers who just a couple of years ago, if you said, hey, we have a rotation of, I mean, think about it, just like what, a few years ago, I said, in our rotation, we have Adam Wainwright, Corey Kluber, and who was the other one I just said? And Matt Harvey. I said, oh my God. Yeah, we're also going to throw in Felix Hernandez. Well, make your reservations for October. And then things turn around. It's not fair, but sometimes fair has nothing to do with it. And sometimes it's all about making the best bet for your team moving forward. If you're going to do a bet, just go to Bet Online. It's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. You know, we got the Stanley Cup Finals. We got the NBA Finals are going to be coming up really soon. We got Major League Baseball in full swing. Bet Online even covers awards and TV shows, reality TV, real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best place to place your bets, and it is free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline is your online sportsbook expert. Promo code LOCKEDON. Hey, become a waiver wire winner with Locked On Fantasy Baseball Podcast. It's a daily fantasy baseball podcast hosted by veteran fantasy analyst Scott Cullen, who uses data and nearly two decades of fantasy baseball experience to offer the strategies and waiver wire pickups that lead to league wins. Follow Locked On Fantasy Baseball on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm going to wish a happy birthday to a couple of you. I talked about the ace pitchers. Well, man, there was no ace pitcher quite like Greg Maddux. Greg Maddux was unbelievable for his, I mean, he pitched for really 22 seasons. He had a cup of coffee in 86. Came up in 87 as a 21-year-old with the Cubs, and then for the next few decades just was a model of consistency. Yes, he had that stretch where he won four straight Cy Young Awards and led the league in virtually every category. But even when he stopped winning the Cy Young Awards, he just looked in year in and year out. He was going to give 200-some-odd innings, keep his ERA low, win a bunch of games, complete a bunch of games, and just be an absolute stalwart for the Atlanta Braves and for the Cubs. And even towards the end of his career, between 2004 and 2008, when he bounced around between his return to the Cubs and he had a couple stints with the Dodgers and with the Padres, he still was solid. He still was a solid player. And still contributed to a couple of trips to the postseason. It's funny, he finished his career as a reliever on the 2008 Dodgers, a team where he was teammates with Clayton Kershaw. You know, he was briefly teammate. He was in the Cubs in the mid-80s, and there's a lot of, he played with like the Andre Dawsons of the world, and by the end was playing with the Clayton Kershaws of the world. And just consistently being the tremendous pitcher and doing it with stuff that wasn't like the electric Pedro or Randy Johnson or the unbelievable curveball of a Blylevin. He just seemed smarter. And it was not just because he wore glasses, but he just looked smarter than everybody else and constantly was outsmarting the opponent left and right. His teammate for a bunch of those years in Atlanta, including the year when they won the World Series in 1995, was Steve Avery. And for a few years, Avery was one of the aces as well. I mean, remember he had his 18-win season in 1991, and when the Braves won the pennant in 1991, defeating the Pirates, who may have been a better team, it was Avery who went 2-0 and was the league championship series MVP. And he was an all-star caliber pitcher in 91 and 93. Put up another solid year in 92. And looked like when you mentioned, you know, Glavin, Maddox, and Smoltz, Avery was mentioned alongside them. I mean, he was as good. Maybe not as good as Maddox, but, you know, he certainly seemed as good as Smoltz and Glavin at that point. And he fell off a cliff in kind of the same way. He wound up going to the Red Sox, where he didn't quite hook on. He had two bad seasons there. He had a mediocre year with the Reds. And then couldn't make it. You know, he missed all of 2000, 2001, 2002. And he wound up having a little comeback with the Tigers in 2003, but that was it. I mean, if you looked at him at age 23, he looked like a superstar, potential Hall of Famer. And sometimes it's difficult to explain how fast some of these pitchers could flame out and why someone like a Greg Maddux is such an outlier. You know, I was thinking about that 95 team. April 14th is the birthday for Greg Maddux, Dave Justice, and Steve Avery, who were all part of the Braves team that won the World Series that year. That'd be an interesting birthday party to be with all of them. It's also Pete Rose's birthday. And look, I've talked a lot about Pete Rose. It's a sad story. Pete Rose was one of my favorite players growing up. And he made his own bed. He has to lie in his own bed. We all know that. And for those of you who are new to the podcast, I know I have a bunch of new listeners, especially after my weird San Diego Padres no-hitter thing. I have a thought about Pete Rose. Look, I don't want to get into gambling on baseball. It stinks, even if you're betting on your team to win. If you don't understand that, just please look up why. When you bet on your team to win, it affects the day before and afterwards. What does it say about the games you're not betting? You're going to be playing it differently. And when you're managing a team, you can't be saying, oh, we're going to push all our chips on the center of the table for this particular game, because that affects the day before and after. That's why we can't have people betting on games, even if it's to win. If you don't understand that, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. If you've had years to understand it, and there you go. Pete Rose is obviously a Hall of Fame caliber player based on what he did on the field. But I will make this point. I believe Pete Rose would rather be on the outside looking in. I absolutely believe it. Everything he's done demonstrates that. That he would rather be on the outside looking in. Because he has had every single opportunity to right this wrong, to repent, to do what he needs to do. And every single time, they're saying, hey, Pete, have you reformed yourself? Have you shown you're no longer gambling? And then he does like a press conference outside of a casino, or he does a book tour that talks about all the times he lied to everybody. You know, at some point, you got to understand that Pete would rather be on the outside looking in because of this very simple reason. The second he's in the Hall of Fame, he's no longer a story. He isn't. Think about it. Think about the great players who are in the Hall of Fame. Once they get in, the next time you will ever mention that person is when they die. With the exception of, like, you know, if someone was, you know, when Bonds was chasing Hank Aaron's record, okay, then you bring up Hank again. But, you know, Willie Mays, how often is Willie Mays in the newspaper? You know, how often is Sandy Koufax in the newspaper? When do we talk about the players who are in the Hall of Fame after they get in? That's their grand ending. And Pete Rose can make more money for Pete Rose if he's on the outside looking in, playing the martyr card for everyone who loves Pete Rose, and say, ah, Pete, you should be in. He sets up camp in Cooperstown, does the signings, goes all over the place. If he gets in, he doesn't get to do that anymore. And he has had every chance to right the wrong, to put this behind him. And the fact that he doesn't do it is all you kind of need to know about what his motivation is. He would be in if he wanted to be. But he doesn't really want to be. Oh, I'm sure he wants to be. Let me rephrase that. he would like to be in, but he'd rather be making the money. He'd rather have his main source of income be on Pete Rose, the martyr who's in the story. Every single time there's a Hall of Fame gathering or Hall of Fame vote, his name comes up. You know, he could have gone through all the hoops, jumped through all the hoops, and he would have been eligible for the Hall of Fame probably in 95 or maybe 2000. And he would have been in. But now 21 years later have passed since then. And he's still a news story come the Hall of Fame. The last game he played was 1986. The last time he was even an elite player was probably 1981. Okay? We're in the 40th anniversary of Pete Rose being an elite player. And he's still a story for the Hall of Fame and can still make money from it because he's not in it. So when people try to act like, oh, well, Pete needs to get in. Yeah, talk to Pete. It's on him. And happy birthday, Pete. You are the hit king. You're a great player. And I used to mimic you when I was at bat in Little League. I didn't get as many hits as you did, though. All right, folks. Looks like I'm caught up in my podcast, even though I got really knocked out by that COVID vaccination. I'm wide awake right now, pounding out a couple of shows. We're back on track. And check it out, Johnny Vandermeer, look behind you. Joe Musgrove is going to join you. This has been Locked On MLB for the 14th day of April, 2021. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.